Hey there, we're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those of you raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child.
Our topic today is enough versus push more. And before we get into that topic, interestingly entitled, we're going to look at some instruction from the Bible, some verses from the Bible. Enough or push more? What could that mean? In our lives of raising children, we're always reminded of Bible instruction. With our children, is it enough or should we push more to get them to do more? Verses such as, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, from Proverbs 22, verse 6. Is my child doing enough, or should we push him to do more? Here's another, which in raising our children, we thought of a lot. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And in verse 4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And then to us parents, the verse that says, be perfect, for your heavenly father is perfect.
I don't think I like that one.
Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48.
Did I just say I don't like a verse in the Bible?
That's a tough one because, we want excellence in our children and we don't want to accept just enough. We do want to push forward. But we strive, when we do strive for that excellence in our children and ourselves, let us also remember the grace of God and help our children to see that grace from ourselves, from us, and the grace of God. The last verse of 2 Corinthians says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so by God's grace, we raise our children praying for wisdom to know if it's enough or should we push more.
You know, and I really like the concept of, as much as our children are able to understand, communicating to them that we are human, that we are not perfect, but we can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect only because of Jesus in us.
Right.
And that we can bring that to our children when they're frustrated because they're not being perfect, or they sense that we're not happy with their imperfection, which is often the case, I think, with children because they're so sensitive. We can bring that to the table always. God's grace overcomes all of those things.
Right.
I love that. So, do you find yourself wondering how much or how much more you should push your children to develop? In our work with parents, we've found several schools of thought. Okay, so you can decide to never encourage or push or do anything and let the child develop as they will, no interventions at all. Some parents feel that their special needs child will become just who they are supposed to be without any therapies. Some parents think you should start therapy as soon as you can and find the best of the best to administer it. Some parents do hours and hours of research and consult with many experts in all of the therapy fields. They find who they deem to be the best and get their children hooked up with these professionals. And then there are some parents who do intervention on steroids. Some parents' focus becomes zeroed in on the child with challenges, to the exclusion, though, of siblings and spouses and friends. We've seen it all. These parents don't only do the research, the hours and hours of research, and find the best therapist and get their kids to them, they also use up all available funds and time and effort to run after whatever they can find to focus on, quote, fixing this child, or in giving them the benefit of the doubt on helping the child become all that they were meant to be.
And I think what you were saying there just a few sentences ago, at the exclusion of siblings and spouses and friends. So yeah. You've got to make some wise decisions.
Be careful, don't we? And then another thing, some parents learn how to and do exercises and activities at home to move the development forward. Some parents go out and become trained and are certified in things that they know will help their child and do the majority of the intervening themselves. And of course, there are more variations and combinations of all these different scenarios as well. Which one do you lean towards? And then I think sometimes there's seasons. Some seasons were push, 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 and some seasons were tired. And in all honesty, we all need to take a break. So here's some things to consider. It's not an easy topic. There's a lot at play in making these decisions. So what is a parent to do? Here are those things that we can consider. Medical fragility. Now, can this child withstand at this time the intervention that I'm considering? And some of our children are very medically fragile. Some of them aren't so medically fragile, and they really can withstand it. And we have to look at that perspective as well. And again, I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have to look at seasons of life. There are times when we can pour more time, more effort, and more money into intervention than at other times. There are times when we just need to step back and give our child a break and give ourselves a break. It's good to recognize the ebb and flow of life and not feel guilty about it. We have to consider other responsibilities. We think it's safe to say that most of us have more responsibility than this one child. If we're married, we don't want to drop our spouse like a hot potato. We've seen that happen. If there are siblings, we need to consider their needs as well. We need to consider jobs if we're employed. We need to consider the house cleaning, repairs, car upkeep, laundry, providing meals, shopping, cooking. It kind of is sobering, isn't it?
There's a lot going on.
We also need to consider the child's personality. One mom shared that her daughter can very easily lean on and milk pity from the adults in her world to her own detriment. Our kids can sabotage their own development, no question about it. And kids are manipulators. They learn that really early, no matter what's going on with them. This mom recognized that this daughter needs to be prompted and urged to do things for herself. Some children are pleasers, and they'll turn themselves inside out just to make someone happy or pleased with their efforts. We need to know our kids, don't we? We need to consider this child's capabilities. Some children can handle more than others. Some children can handle one form of therapy, but not another very well. We don't have to beat them up or beat ourselves up, emotionally that is, because they're not making it in this particular therapy. It might be that they need something different. They may be able to handle more down the road, but maybe not right now, or vice versa. We need to consider the child's spirit. We never want to squash the spirit of a child. We want adults working with them who will take into account ways to encourage and build our kids up. And you know what I mean. There are some people that work with our kids that are not a good fit. And we need to evaluate and assess that. And we definitely need to consider siblings. We know how hard it is to have a child with medical and physical fragility and needs. We know that incredible juggling act it is to meet the needs of that child as well as her siblings. We do have to consider the big picture, the whole family, when deciding how intervention for this one can work, keeping the family dynamics in mind. We have to consider aging parents. I think Tom and I are feeling that more now than ever, now that we are over 60 and just under 60. Some parents are older than other parents. And we were just talking with someone yesterday who started a ministry for grandparents raising their grandchildren. There's a lot of that going on too. And the body begins to wear out, particularly when it has been a caregiver for a long time. Sometimes a parent must decide to cut back on intervention because they are wearing out just getting the child to the therapy. And no one likes to talk about this, but we always have to consider the budget, don't we? I think this was probably the biggest frustration for moms and dads, because moms want to push, push, push. Generally, I'm stereotyping here, but this has been more common than not. Moms want to push. They want to, you know, go to no expense or all expense. no expense is too much. Spare no expense. That's what I'm trying to say. For their child, because, I mean, this is their child and they want to do everything that's best for them. But we do have to be realistic, don't we? We have to consider the expenses involved in intervention. The budget definitely needs to be considered. So what is a parent to do? We suggest keep in mind the considerations above.
And we also say pray about it, very definitely. Seek wise counsel also, and get others to pray with you and for your child. Every Wednesday there was a prayer meeting at our church, and Julie would call with when there was a time that
it was intense.
It was just things that was just beyond our ability and knowledge
and wisdom. We needed the Lord. We had no idea how to make the decisions, and so right. Yeah,
she would call the office, and they would put her on the prayer list.
They would ask.
Always be willing to evaluate, and don't get discouraged by I gotta do it my way, zealots. Everybody has their own opinion, and everybody wants to do it their way. And don't be discouraged by that.
And here's the other thing that reminded me of is every expert has their own little bailiwick, right? And so they're going to give you advice regarding their expertise. So it is up to us, as overwhelming as that can be sometimes, it's up to us as parents to pull all that information from all the different experts and make the best decision for our family.
Right. Remember, the main thing to remember is you are the parent.
Amen.
You are the parent. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He who calls you is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And this beautiful concept, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Isaiah 40, verse 11.
There were so many times we had to come to the Lord in prayer seeking wisdom on what to do next for our children. Not only our Amy with Char syndrome, but also our Josh with some learning struggles and some immune deficiency problems. And our older two typically developing children. Also, we needed wisdom for them. So through the years, we have learned to listen to that still small voice or the nudge in our spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. We had to move forward with humility, but also with confidence. We had to be okay with what time, budget, and energy had available, even if we wanted more. We had to be willing to step it up if we felt a nudge to do so. And we had to consider what we could do at home. So we went out, we are one of those parents that went out and got training when available and affordable. We're encouraging you to do the same if you're nudged to do so. The most important thing to remember is that God gave that specific child to you to raise for a time. Whether he or she has come to you by adoption, is in foster care in your home, or was born to you biologically, God has appointed you and he will equip you. Remember,
it's never too late, and there's always hope for your child. We're Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the Ministry of Champions for Parents. We're USA missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges, through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups, wherever they may meet. And
So some of those groups, I moved Tom's notes on him. So some of those groups we have spoken at are at
parent conferences, mothers of preschoolers, mom's next groups, homeschooling groups, ladies brunch groups, Awana conferences,
yes,
and the list goes on.
Yes.
We also like to talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond. If you know of any parenting groups who are looking for a speaker, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com and let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you. And we also have a parent newsletter. You can send us an email and we can put you on the list to receive the free parenting newsletter.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle and their families, and you're looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who has been there and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com. What sets us apart is that we are looking for that faith-to-faith connection. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to the next time.
May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now.